This episode of the Out of Spec podcast was brought to you by Magna. Magna is a leading-edge mobility technology company for automakers, and it supplies automotive systems, assemblies, modules, and components to countless brands you've undoubtedly heard of. GM, Ford, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, and so many more. Magna has been a key player behind the scenes for decades, including pioneering some of the first reverse cameras before you had even heard of the concept. They now look to the future with fully autonomous driving systems, ADAS, and many electric car components for your EV at home. We'd like to thank our sponsors that make shows like this possible. Hey, welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Schieffer, joined by co-host Kyle Connor, co-host Mike Breeling, and co-host Ben Spreen. And the OG squad is back for this week. We wanted to catch up, talk about some things we've been doing, maybe a bit of car news here and there. So where to start? I guess we were just pre-show talking about, we've been doing some drag races, of course, as one does. And as one does, we compared a CUV versus an electric car versus a sporty sedan. And actually, I thought it was really awesome. I've got a picture here for our YouTube listeners, but our YouTube viewers. But yeah. Three beautiful shades of gray on the the road surface with Kia versus Hyundai versus Genesis. Yeah. So, Kyle, were you surprised by anything?
Yes, very surprised. So the idea was we had both. Well, we should talk about all the cars we've been driving because we've been driving stuff even when the Rivian was here, and we have not spoken about those cars. So this is like a whole roundup this episode on everything we've been driving for the last 3 weeks almost. And so we got a lot of cars to get through, but we've had both the Kia Sorento and the Hyundai Genesis G. Oh wait, sorry. Not the Hyundai Genesis. We've had the Kia Sorento and the Genesis G70 3.3T all wheel drive advanced, which is like the one up from the bottom, but not the max. I'll explain that in a bit. And it's basically their super sporty sedan versus Kia's affordable, you know, three-row SUV versus Hyundai's electric hatchback thing that is called an SUV, but it's not. And pretty amazing, these results. It's a little bit of a mix and mash lineup, but surprisingly, the Genesis didn't win anything.
That is surprising.
Other than looks, I think it looks the coolest.
Yes.
Although the Kia really was, you know, I've seen it online, but like seeing it in person, I was like, oh, this is really stunning looking.
All look great in their own way. I mean, each of the brand identities, I would say these are the best looking cars in each car's lineup. Although I do like the GV70 as well. The SUV version, I think looks amazing. So the moral of the story is the South Koreans are just absolutely on fire and killing it. They are just making some of the best cars on the market, some of the best driving experiences, and all three of these cars embody a different segment, and they're all great in their own right. But the Sorento has the best braking power of the three, which is amazing.
It's good for the family.
Yep. So we did a 70 mile per hour, obviously zero drag race. The Ioniq actually won, Genesis second, Kia third. And then we did a 70 mile per hour braking test, which the Sorento totally smoked the Ioniq 5, which totally smoked the G70. Oh.
Yeah. I will say the drag race was extremely close between Hyundai Ioniq 5 and the Genesis.
It actually wasn't, though. And I'll tell you why.
I'm excited to hear why, because I watched the video and the Genesis beat it off the line, which is to be expected.
Yeah.
But I was surprised the Ioniq won in the end. I thought it was really close. Like, I thought they were pretty neck and neck.
I just think the launch was bad. I didn't see it from my car. And so if I had seen that whole drag race, I would have said, let's redo it and let's get a better launch. I knew the Sorento was going to be last to launch because I wasn't brake torquing it. And there was a little bit of delay where it builds revs and it's a dual clutch before it can, you know, clamp down in the clutches. So I know I'm going to be last to get off the line. I thought the Ioniq would have had the jump, but I think Zach fell asleep at the start. And Timon was a little bit eager in launch control to pop off the brakes. And so basically, I think regardless, the Hyundai launched second and came in first. So even if they launched at the same time, we knew that was the faster car. So I was fine with the results in the end. But man, that thing had not only, I think the Ioniq would have gotten it 0 to 30 miles an hour, but it had sustained performance all the way through the race. It kept inching on the Genesis, which that's a no joke. That Genesis has way more power and a little bit less torque, but 365 horsepower versus 320, like big difference here, but we are at elevation.
It was surprising to see the Ioniq 5 continue to pull like a traditional ICE car, whereas most electric cars, as soon as you get to that top end, they tend to like flatline, like bottom out almost. And the Ioniq 5 continued to build speed, and it was pretty impressive to see on film for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we thought this is a silly drag race and like it's not going to be close, and like, oh, it's going to be Genesis 1, Ioniq 2, and then you know, Sorento just way in the dust. It wasn't the case, and the Sorento really is just an incredible value for money. 45 grand for a max trim turbocharged Sorento dual clutch with that nice stitched leather and a wonderful interior. It's, I think, almost the car I would drive home from there. Although we should talk about the others as well, because I've had a chance now to drive all three of these cars extensively, but I spent all day in the Genesis up until about an hour ago, and really, that's a sick car.
Yeah. Mike and I quite like the Sorento Hybrid in our testing. Yes. It's a very, very good car overall. Nothing wrong with it, truthfully.
I think the only downside of the Hybrid is you cannot get it in that SX Prestige package, is the one that you had. And that makes it a whole lot nicer on the inside. But we, going back to what Ben said, it's still a really good car. We were very impressed. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't honestly buy that car. Even in hybrid form for like 37 grand, I think it was, as tested. It was a really good value.
Such a value. It's like Tahoes are so expensive and get garbage fuel economy, unless it's the diesel. This is like for a sensible family, this is the option. And, you know, we did some airport runs in it. Alyssa had to take it to Denver for a thing today. So like, it's been working for us this week. We've been driving it, and it's just been a wonderful cruiser, great driver assistance, great options and settings. And we had the exact same hybrid you guys had as well. I think it was the same car that came out here later. And, you know, thanks for farting in it. It smelled terrible. And
it's a full battery of tests.
And it was a wonderful experience, that car. But I really like this non-hybrid version, this turbo, because they have a non-turbo 2.5 and a turbo 2.5. The turbo 2.5, super torquey, rips the shifts, which is like, why are we even talking about that in a 7-passenger or 6-passenger SUV? But like, it's a great driving car.
Yeah, the non-turbo would really suck up here at altitude. I'm glad we didn't get that one, although I'd kind of like to rip it apart, but it's like such a good car, but it's amazing what turbos do up here at altitude.
Well, they do good and bad. And I'll explain the bad, because I know this is very heavy on the combustion early on in the show. We'll get to some EV stuff later on, but I was driving the Genesis G70 today on my typical morning canyon loop, and was not hammering it, but going for a sporty cruise. And I was loving the driving dynamics. And I'm like, you know, this car is the one down from the Max. So no Brembo brakes, no limited slip in the rear, and no Brembo brakes, limited slip, and no active damper. And so it's a little soft, but it's very balanced. And I'm okay with soft as long as the car is balanced, because it kind of leans in. It still does some sort of torque vectoring situation, because nailing it on corner exit, even with the all-wheel drive, was coming out neutral steering, and it holds at the red line, goes like 500 RPM deep into the red line, like almost to 7, which is pretty good. And it's got the valved exhaust option, which gives it an extra 3 horsepower. And it's not loud enough. It should be a much more aggressive valve. It's actually kind of annoying to drive this car around at low speed, because you get this very buzzy noise out the back. And it's a little bit like, just let it breathe. And when you nail it, it's got the breathing through a straw vacuum cleaner noise, even with the valves open. It's just... And I'm like, well, I can't really hear it. So like, if I had it, I would just rip the exhaust off of it.
So it was no BMW M340.
Well, here's the thing. I would still have it, and maybe not over an M340, but I'd have it over at least a 330, which is what it competes with, because it's 49 grand as tested.
That's true. Even though it's a six cylinder, so I agree. I think the Genesis is probably a better buy just for the drivetrain alone.
And so really liked it. There's like tuning things that they need to work on though. The you know how some automatic transmissions do the little fart upshift and they go, and it's a torque converter 8-speed. It only does that in Sport Plus, like not even in Sport. And so it's really slushy to drive around unless you have it cranked all the way up in maxi max mode. And honestly, that's how I've been driving it around most of the time. At low speed in the manual setting, just because I like the upshift crispness a little bit more. And by the way, this one is painted in Siberian ice or something like that. It's a wonderful color. It's
beautiful, yeah.
I think I have a picture on my Twitter you can pull up,
Jordan. You need the green one, Dark Forest Green or something.
That
one
looks good. This is the spec. Whatever we have now.
But I don't know.
One more calibration issue. When I got to the top, I was like doing the last hill climb on my canyon loop before I peak at just over or right around 8,000 feet of elevation. It started to break up. Like it started to misfire.
Really?
And yeah. And the only other car, production car, that's happened to me in is a Morgan Plus 4.
Which, I mean, that's a production car.
Right. Yeah. And that's a Morgan. So like, of course, that's going to happen. I've had cars overheat. I've had cars derate power because they're getting hot or the transmission's hot or something. This did none of that. It just was going, and I was like, whoa. So I kind of backed off of it and I have it all on video and I, you know, rolled into it again and it just, and I was like, whoa. It feels like when you have a bad tune on a turbocharged car. And it's almost like it didn't compensate for the elevation on the way up and it just was starving itself. It almost felt like it had too much air and not enough fuel, but my guess is it may have been the other way around and wasn't very pleasant. It only happened right at the top because as soon as I lost about 500 feet of elevation, it was fine again. So we must've just hit that threshold where it was pretty unhappy. And I got to say that's annoying. Also, I love all the comments where people think, you know,
yeah,
it's not electric, so throw it away.
Yeah.
Your Twitter I guess audience is a very mixed crowd because there's people that are like, this thing's awesome, and then if it burns gas, it belongs in the trash. But
we're going to be seeing this with automotive going forwards. I'm not sure what the best way to handle it is, especially as we're growing not only our combustion business but also our electric business. We're going to have this dichotomy. And I don't know if the answer is just to fully separate everything or to just force the issue.
I really think for me, it's just embrace it all and talk about the goods of both and the bads of both. Literally just converse about everything because there's too many people who are segmenting themselves into the echo chamber of what they love. And I think there's value in both, and it's going to be a gradual transition. You know, we're not going to be like, oh, next year, all gas is dead. EVs forever.
Not for a long time.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, it is kind of silly, like commuting to the office and turning on a combustion engine. I'm like, well, I'm just going to take the smart car or the Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll take this out for a canyon rip. So, I mean, I agree. I'm internally conflicted as well because I love combustion for all the fun bits and I love electric for like everything else. But I've really fallen for this G70, 30 mpg on the highway, by the way, at 70, which it's rated for 25. So it smoked the EPA in our test, which is pretty amazing. And that's EPA highway rating. I think it's 17 city, 25 highway by the EPA. We did 30. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Also not a great EPA highway rating for a car like that, truthfully.
Yeah, not very good at all. And it has an eco setting for its all-wheel drive system. And it has one of the best sound systems, truly. The Lexicon. And if you put it in the reference setting, it's just so crazy.
Yeah. Lexicon is so good. I mean, that's what we had in the G80 that we had last time. And I
never listened to it in the G80, though.
Oh, that was like We had that really close to the same time as the Bowers and Wilkins with the XC60.
Yep.
And those were – Bowers and Wilkins still took the show, but barely.
As
the Lexicon
should.
Was up there.
Well, they're different types of systems. I feel like the Lexicon is like a very studio-oriented, like actually tuning the music. I feel like I'm in like where they're putting the mixing boards and stuff, and I'm hearing every single sound profile. And really, it's a system that sounds best with everything zeroed out. Like no pumping the bass, no pumping the treble, just put it right down the middle. Whereas the Bowers and Wilkins is this very enveloping, large feeling sound system that is arguably tuned. I think they have some Dolby stuff in the Volvo stuff. But anyway, just pretty, both totally different systems, both great. Would love to have both.
Yeah. And we also did Kia EV6 versus Ioniq 5 and threw the Volvo XC40 Recharge in the mix. And, of course, a Rivian was just on site looking good.
Right, that's our friend Will's Rivian.
Yeah, Will looks like a proper Rivian driver, too.
Well, he looks like a proper, like, Silverado driver. Not,
future he's a real electric cowboy truck now. Owner. Yeah, the future of electric truck owners will be cowboy hats, and he's spearheading that movement.
Well, because Will and I like electric for similar reasons in that it gives you full energy independence. I mean, it's like, you know, my whole thing is like, I like to just live in my own little bubble. And if I can produce, create, store, and power my life with my own electricity that I've created on my own piece of land, then there's nothing more independent than that. And that's Will's kind of guy. And he is buying 600 acres just up the road here near Laramie, Wyoming, just right outside of town. And this is going to be his farm truck, and it's going to be awesome.
That is a great farm truck, honestly. Like, Rivian's made the perfect example of one, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yep.
Because no farm truck is really suitable unless it has 835 horsepower.
Yeah, well, you got to get across 600 acres quickly, Ben.
Yes, and it just floats over it all.
I'm needed on the other side of the farm. <It's my
laundry>. Well, anyway, you know, we really have so many cars to talk about too. So the Rivian stuff we've covered. I think we just I'm tired of talking about Rivian. I don't even want to hear Rivian ever again. That's not true, but it's just a
lot. In other news, the R1S.
Yeah.
Here, I zoomed in to cut out the Rivian.
I do like the Rivian, and we are going to buy one. And they're great. So
too bad we didn't order one when they were cheap.
No, but I think I'm just going to try and find a reservation to convert or something like that. We'll see. XC40.
How was the XC40?
So let's talk about the drag race, and then I'll tell you about each car.
Okay.
How about that? So we did Ioniq 5 versus EV6 drag race, which was this video. And as you would expect, they're the same cars. They were very neck and neck. Although the Ioniq 5 inched out the EV6 with a lighter driver in the EV6. Me, I've never been the lighter driver before. And so thanks, Zach. And so basically, the Ioniq 5 seemed to outpower the EV6, but then the EV6 had better braking. And I think it's down to the tires.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your spoiler. You don't have to watch that video anymore. Then we drag raced again the XC40 Recharge, which has about 90 more horsepower than those cars, 402 horsepower, I think, and 400 and something pound feet of torque. It's quite very, very stout powertrain. And the Kia jumped it off the line. Like, perfect launch, the Kia actually inched ahead. And then the XC40 ramped up and just walked away.
I'm not surprised that Volvo is like limited it off the line. Like, will not give you instant power. It's just the way that I feel like Volvos are.
Yeah, and I think they would just like rip axles out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does 472 foot-pounds of torque or something crazy, I think. So, well,
also, Ben, you and I have discussed this at length. When it comes to electric motor tuning and calibration for acceleration, it's kind of nice to have this increasing sensation. Because it encourages you to stay in it.
It does. I think there's the benefit to that. You know, like another car, it's about exactly the same power as the Volvo, like the Jag I-Pace. That one just freaking rips from the launch, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while for me too.
But also, like, I'm conflicted. My Taycan does that ramp up thing in the same way a Model S 85 did.
Yep.
And in my head, I just want, you know, I kind of just want to roast the tires. And I know that's not faster, but it's fun.
Well,
so, you know, I think it depends on the car. I think for the Volvo, it's very suitable to have that ramping sensation.
Well, because it's not
slow. It's not a ludicrous mode. It's not for launching everywhere. It's just quick.
No, but it's you wouldn't know it unless you drag raced it against the Kia. That's the thing. You don't feel it when you drive the Volvo. Really? It's still like, whoa. And then I'm like, how is the Kia faster? And then it just was like, whoa again. And I walked them up to 112 miles an hour because Volvo cares about our safety because speed equals unsafe.
Yeah. EV6 does a very unsafe 118 compared to the 112. So
very dangerous car.
Yeah, EV6, great brakes, but there is a definite limit. If you can't keep romping on them for 65 miles,
Well, Jordan, that's the case for any car. So I had asked Jordan to run the battery down. And were you doing neutral on the brakes as well?
Yeah.
So it was straight friction braking. So your acceleration braking, friction braking.
So I left the office. It said 220 miles remaining. And then I drove 65 miles and it said 15 miles remaining.
That's a good drive right there.
Yeah, now a lot of that's also like if you used the same energy scale, you probably would have had 40 miles remaining.
Yeah, but I left at 90 and arrived home at 10. So I used 80% of the battery pack in 65 miles.
Proper. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what we need. And it was great because I was able to do some charging stuff with it. but yeah, maybe you went a little too aggressive.
I did, yeah. So.
So sorry to Kia. We didn't damage the car and the brakes felt fine. Somehow the fluid never felt like it boiled. Because the brake
cover was gonna ask about great. That. If the because I remember Ben like destroyed his fluid on the Dragon, his BMW and his brakes.
No, the pad actually we melted the pad.
Yeah, the pad was dripping.
Wow.
Yeah, but that happens. I mean, it's fine. It's a brake by wire. So I wonder how much actual squishiness is being tuned out and compensated by the electronics in the car. Because when I got in it, I didn't know any of this had happened. I just drove it, for a minute. And I was like, oh, this feels fine. Like, wouldn't have any idea.
That's good. Cause I absolutely freaked out, but that's good.
I was just actually driving the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio and it has a weird brake pedal thing as well. Like that, where it's that dynamic brake booster. It's my least favorite brake pedal ever.
Yes. And it's very stiff, isn't it?
Yes.
It feels awful. Like you're stepping on like a backpack. That's like, it's, I know that's a weird, I can't really come up with a better thing, but
I was talking about
the give in a normal way.
The suspension
suspension is stiff in that thing.
And then there's like a stiff setting.
A GT. Yeah, I know. You're like, you put in sport and it says now you're in stiff mode. I'm like, I wasn't in stiff mode this whole time, you're telling me? Like, it's pretty rough. And then you can only get the exhaust open in race mode, which means you can only go to mid stiffness and not full soft. And, you know, but it makes some good noises.
And then when you go to race, it turns traction control off.
Yes, it does. ESP, which is like the only way to have your exhaust open in a like performance vehicle is kind of silly. But I mean, I kind of agree with that logic somewhat.
But I mean, it works for us, but like think about the person buying an Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio. It's the type of person who would never let you forget that they drive an Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio, and they should not have ESP off.
It has a Ferrari engine, don't you know? That's what they would be saying all the time.
Yeah.
Well, the issue I had with its brake pedal, though, is when you come off the brakes, you get like rear-ended with creep is how it feels.
You mean from a stop?
Yeah, like if you're you come off the brake.
It's so torqued up the whole time.
Yeah, so you come off, if you just let go of the brake normally, like you would in any other car, it feels like you like tap the throttle really aggressively, even though you didn't touch
it. It's very hard to inch it in a parking lot.
So all manufacturers, gas, electric, just make the pedal normal, please. Thank you. my soapbox for the day.
Yeah, but that Stelvio Quadrifoglio still, I mean, it rips. It's no question. It's rips the shifts, does all the stuff.
I was going to say the only redeeming quality, is one, it's over 500 horsepower, and two, it sounds amazing and it does the really good upshift noise. Like you feel like you're in a race car. I mean, you just do.
It's so hardcore. I mean, they literally took the Giulia Quadrifoglio and put it on stilts, gave it all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And
it's really a sporty vehicle.
It drives like the shipping blocks are still in it, though.
Yes, it does.
The the whole time we were in it, I'm like, I don't know who buys this. Like, I get why you make this car, but I would have the Giulia because there's no reason to have this. Yeah. I want a stiff, rough ride.
Like, if you really want the SUV, like, you could have a Macan GTS and have both of those things all the time.
Well, yeah, because
zero compromise.
The four-cylinder one sucks because I hate that engine.
Yeah, it's terrible. Turbo lag city.
There are some journalists that, like, love that two-liter engine, and it it makes power at 1200 RPM and then nothing above that.
It gives you a lot at 1200. It's like a big lump.
Way too much. It's way too much at 1200. Like, it's fast, but it's not engaging. The chassis is great on that car, though. And the Stelvio Quadrifoglio, the Quadrifoglio is, stellar vehicle. So I guess Kia EV6, should we talk about what we did with that? Because we have to, I mean, we already gave them some videos, but Kia loaned us the car, so we should talk about it for a minute. And great, great car. One of the best. Buy it if you can.
Yeah. I mean, I read Jordan's write-up of the EV6, and I completely agree. It should have some sort of ambient lighting for the money.
You can option it.
Only if you, even on the wind model, or do you have to get the GT?
You got
to
get the GT line with ugly seats.
So
the wind with the tech package, I feel like should have ambient lighting. Tech, it does not, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Like, even if Kia gave you just white ambient lighting, you couldn't change the color. Like, it wasn't configurable. Like, just throw in ambient lighting, manufacturers, please. Kyle's gonna go shut the shade because
it doesn't even need to be like the fancy stuff. Just door pockets, door handles, footwell, storage console. Done.
Very basic. Yeah, and my friend Ahmad, who I did the road trip with, he added it just aftermarket, just so he had something, because there was really dark footwells.
Well, I don't mean to knock on Ahmad, but I feel like he would go to AutoZone and just get some lighting and put it in.
He's done more things to that car than
every stick-on component. These really wide wheels that don't fit. I don't get it, but like, whatever. I mean, I'm glad he's enjoying it.
Yeah, to each their own. But you did a range test, right?
And 257 miles, was it 254 miles, something like that, at 70. Yeah. Smoked your range test.
Yeah,
that's the effect of three people in the car.
No, yeah. I think it was mostly crosswind.
No, we had crosswind. I had crosswind.
Not as much as me.
But then you shouldn't have done the range test.
I think it's the extra weight too.
I want to do that in a test. I want to do a one versus two versus three people in the car.
Well, speaking with a lot of test engineers, it's a massive difference, more so than I even thought.
That's why cars don't have spare tires anymore.
Right. The comments on my range test were very, very heated on both sides. And so I'm really genuinely curious.
Well, do the test, set it up, run it, and you could just do it by yourself and then put some random people in there. Or honestly,
sandbags.
Yeah, sand is great.
We have sandbags.
Yep. Put some sand in there to simulate the weight. That's the way to do it.
1,500 pounds of sandbags. Anything you want.
Pop a wheelie. Day of testing.
I really like that Kia EV6. I'd still buy an Ioniq 5.
I think I would too. Because I was just going to get the max trim anyway. So I would just get the limited Ioniq 5.
Yes.
But. Yeah. So max trim, I would get Ioniq 5 over EV6. Mid trim, I would reverse that.
Well, why would you ever buy a mid trim?
I wouldn't.
Well, then, so you would buy an Ioniq 5.
Yes. Ioniq 5. Limited in the, what's that color? I think the color your dad got. And then the green interior, whatever it's called.
Shooting Star.
With the green interior that's actually pretty much white, but they'll call it green, whatever.
Yeah, because the dash is a gray with a hue of green in it. Yeah. It's not like the EV6 green interior, which is atrocious, by the way.
It is not a good looking green. It's not like the Rivian green, Forest Edge. I think that's what it is. Like, that's a good looking green.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's good looking. But
I know Ben would spec it that way.
Whatever Kia was doing was they, man.
Compass yellow over forest green.
No,
it's bad, but I love it.
No, it needs to be.
Yes. Oh, yes. Here's the thing. I like both of those colors so much, I'm willing to just not look at them together. Deeply tint the windows, not worry about it.
Wow, you're a brave man. I'm surprised we didn't even let you order that.
They do. They will.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone's money is just as green. You don't need taste.
Right. Well, there you go. But remember Volkswagen wouldn't let you order like the best color combo, which was the light gray with the light gray seats.
They wouldn't let you do it.
But like Rivian lets you do bright yellow with green interior. Yeah,
whatever you want.
Crazy people.
Your production is just delayed because that's a really weird spec.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we're going to build this in 2027.
What else happened? So we had an entire podcast dedicated to the Rivian, which is why we don't really need to spend much time on it. We did the Rivian versus everything with EV capitalized.
We talked about that.
Yeah, and during that time, I drove my first Leaf.
That's crazy to me that you hadn't driven a Leaf before.
That is surprising to me, too.
Because, Jordan, you are like
missing out on much, man. I guess.
Oh yeah, who drives?
So I thought Jordan was like perfect Leaf customer.
Yeah,
I went backwards. I mean, I can't. Basically, I got out of Taycan Sport Turismo GTS and went into a Leaf, and I was like, oh. But
so this is how the other half lives.
The fulcrum of my review bits was balanced on like the Leaf is so much like the Prius, more than I expected in terms of the hatred, but how actually good the car is. Like, everyone just craps on the Prius. They're like, you know, the Prius is like the, you have no inspiration, no imagination, you just get a car. But it's like, that's the so sensible, which is why so many professors own Leafs, I guess, is because they just kind of make sense unless you want to do things like take a road trip.
You're a professor, where do you have to go?
Admittedly, they're priced well. They have great range for their price. Well, things are changing now, but still, you know, what they would be selling for. And they drive nice. They're quiet. They're comfy. They are a box. You can fill them with things. And I think, you know, as much as all of us would complain about Chatamo, I mean, I drive down like my family's neighborhood, and they have like 12 Leafs and 12 Tesla owners all in the same neighborhood, because for some of the people, they don't need any of that extra stuff, and it's kind of pointless.
I just thought, I mean, I took the review. I was like, well, you know, the Leaf was introduced with the tagline of innovating humankind, innovating the world, something like that, and all around innovation. And I was like, oh, let's see if anything's still innovative. And not really. And even the sound system, I was like, I opened the trunk and I saw this cool bass box, which is only really found in like, okay, old high-end TVs, like, well, from Bose, who made this. And it's a different way of getting bass frequencies aside from having a subwoofer from an actual cone subwoofer. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I did some research and was like, oh, no, they literally used the same sound system from 2013 till now in the Leaf, and did not make a single change when they updated the Leaf in 2017, whenever that was. So, well,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The thing with the Leaf is it's just cheap, reliable transportation. Yep. And it is good at that. And this one was orange, so it was really fast.
Yep.
I mean, that's what the Mini is. I mean, it's cheap and it's going to be reliable. I mean, even the new F56 Gen Minis have been reliable. They haven't had any really electrical gremlins or anything like that plague them. Unlike, you know,
but the
early
Mini
ones,
is premium and the Leaf is not.
Yes,
the Leaf makes no attempt at being up market. It just is what it is.
So what's the price?
Professors have as Minis.
What's the price of the Mini SE?
It starts at $29,990.
Okay, and what's like a maxed out one?
I think it's like $38,000.
Okay, so a maxed
mine
out
was Leaf, 35.
A maxed out Leaf or a maxed out Mini? I would definitely take the Mini because it would feel drastically.
Well, you have half the range, less than half the range.
Yeah, that's the thing. You only get 100 miles
or whatever it's called.
And so, I'm seeing a lot more new Minis than I am new Leafs, because I think people in this category are like, hey, this is a secondary vehicle or whatever it is. Get the nice one. That's got a personality. Mm-hmm. That's friendly. That improves your day. Driving a Leaf doesn't improve my day, but it does get me to where I need to go. And so it accomplishes job one of a car, which is transportation. And job two, it doesn't even focus on the fun side. Yeah. But I'm so happy Nissan was brave enough to loan us a car to drag race it. This was my pitch to Nissan. I said, Steve, our friend who is the PR guy, I'm like, Steve, you got to give us your Leaf because we want to drag race it against every EV on the market, and your car is going to be the slowest. And he's like, well, and he's got this real nice, deep Southern draw. I think he was in radio before. He's got a great voice. And he's like, well, what are you talking about, Kyle? And I'm like, it's not going to win. But we need a Leaf there. And he was like kind of questioning it. I'm like, look, Steve, that's fine. If you don't want to give us a car, we're going to have a Leaf one way or another. Like everyone in my town drives one. But and then he calls me back and he's like, all right. I'm like, Steve, we don't need the Leaf. We'll just take one from one of our viewers here in town. He's like, no. I want you to take the Leaf, tell the story, do the thing. And it's orange. That's the selling point.
Optional paint color.
Yeah,
it has a color. It is a cool color.
He was genuinely concerned that the Leaf that we might be borrowing wasn't orange, and they want to present the orange Leaf, and so they sent it up to us for a week for that, which I thought was the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and the video did well, and we talked about how the Leaf was the first one there before any of the other cars.
Yeah,
which it's got to be one of the best colors that we had at the runway. Just
Leaf. That and the yellow orange from the Mach-E.
Yep.
Cyber orange, right?
Which is really
you can get a Maverick in that yellow. Color.
Say that again, Mike.
I think you get a Maverick in cyber orange. I think that's what it's called.
Wonderful.
You can. That's true.
Yeah, that's the one.
I want a Maverick in grabber lime.
You're gonna have to wrap it.
Yeah, look at that stunning orange Nissan.
That's right.
Stands out.
It really is amazing how many shades of gray there are in cars nowadays.
No, they maybe we could do a year-end wrap-up of. We could literally call it 50 Shades of Gray, where we just pick our favorite gray car from the paint color gray from the year.
I'm all about
rank them all. Why not? You know.
I'll do all a full video on that. Me and Timon saw a red Volkswagen ID4, which is the first time I'd seen one in public. We saw one at the show, but
only available in Pro S gradient trim.
I've never seen a red one.
It's the only color I like on the ID4. I see one every once in a while. Really? I quite appreciate it. I don't really like any others. They're boring.
I like the blue a lot.
The blue is very Volkswagen-y. It's not interesting to me. And I don't like red cars typically, but I think it's just with the gradient package, it's just a good looking car in the red.
Well, it's like red on the Rivians actually looks really good.
Mm-hmm. It does.
One more thing we have to talk about is the XC40 before we get too far away from that conversation. Built on Volvo CMA chassis, same as C40, same as Polestar 2. By the way, Polestar 2, 65,000 cars to Hertz over the next 5 years. You guys
see that?
That's just one of our news.
Very excited.
They're going to get so beat to hell.
Probably.
Yeah, but so are all the Model 3s that Hertz is renting.
But I feel like a Model 3 is like, you can't really break them.
Feel like they don't hold up great interior-wise, as we've discovered.
You mean Teslas? My car's fine.
Yeah, but you know, like, but you get in a Volvo that's done 85, and I've had a lot of Teslas, but you get in a Volvo that's done 85,000 miles, you get a Tesla that's done 85,000 miles, gonna be a lot of different noises going on.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with that. Every one of my Teslas made noises after.
They have snap drivetrains, I will say, except for the front motor mounts and the front axles. But other than those two very crucial things, they've been fine for me.
Yeah, well, we should talk
and about the rear motor mounts on the big motor cars. But
we should talk about
the rear drivetrain.
Well, Kyle, so XC40. So I actually drove a C40 a couple weeks ago.
Really?
A demo model that a local dealer has where I bought my V90 from had one in. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go down there and drive this.
At Johnson in
Durham.
In Durham. Yeah. Beautiful dealer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's brand new. I think it's only three or 4 years old. But really awesome car. Like I remember when they launched the C40, I'm like, that's it. I'm having one. And I even told you that, like, this is the one to have, the C40, because it looks so much better than the XC40, in my opinion. Even though now the new XC40 will get the same front end, but the rear end, the coupe, I've discovered I'm a coupe SUV person, apparently.
It's very cool taillights. I'll give it that.
And the taillights are amazing, and they have amber turn signals on the taillights, as they should, just like in Europe, over in America, which is great.
But they're not LED.
They are. No, they're full LED on the
C40. Oh, not on the XC40 I tested. 60 grand, you don't even get LED turn.
Yeah, I know. My V90 did not have full LED taillights, and it was really kind of annoying. And then they updated it in 2021. So if you have a new one, you're fine, even though you can't buy them anymore, which is unfortunate.
At least in the US. So are you going to buy one, Mike?
I don't know. I've thought about it, and I just still think I'd have the Polestar over one.
Really? Because you're like, you just said, the C40 is the one to have.
And it is. No, I think if you're cross-shopping them, unless you really need the space in the back, you should just get a C40. Because it looks better. It comes in fjord blue, and you can get blue carpet on the inside, which is really good-looking color. That's the one that I drove. And I honestly forgot how fast that car is. I mean, it was fast.
Yeah.
But I think for me, for my personal tastes, I would rather have that bigger touchscreen the Polestar gets than that tiny 9-inch old way Sensus screen, which is Google operated now, which is great. And it was way better than what I had in my Volvo. But I just couldn't, I don't know if I could live knowing that there's a big 11-inch or 12-inch screen out there that the Volvo has not used. And even though it's the same car.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong either way. The Polestar is sweet.
Oh, yeah. I love both cars. Honestly, I don't know which one I'd have, really. But I'd probably go towards Polestar with the performance spec.
Does that new Google-based Volvo system still use that Sensus touch layer, which is like infrared lasers, where you don't have to technically touch the screen to trigger it, like it's meant for gloves? Because I didn't quite love the precision of that
system. I don't think so. When I was playing around with it, it was... Just like using an iPhone or smartphone.
That's good. I would get the Polestar 2 as well because I need that extra 13 miles an hour top speed.
Well, there are some other benefits. If you get the Polestar 2 Performance, you get Sirius brakes, suspension, ESP sport mode, higher top speed, and more power on the rear axle with the software upgrade. Yeah. And the Polestar Performance software upgrade stops the seatbelt from yanking you every time you rip around a corner, which is nice.
And I have heard Polestar for 2023, the performance pack is coming standard with that performance upgrade.
Great.
So we'll see if that's going to be true, but that would be an exceptional value at that point.
That would be the way to go. I would still have the XC40 Recharge, personally, and I would swap the Öhlins suspension and the onto this thing. And I would somehow convince one of my engineer friends inside a Volvo group to swap that performance software onto it as well.
I like the look of the Volvo like the best at the end of the day. I mean, I love the XC40 and the C40. And honestly, sitting back in a Volvo again, I'm like, oh, I really miss my V90. Like, I miss that car.
I think about your V90 often, actually. Because
Ben and I were just talking about it.
It's got to be one of the best looking cars ever on the sport suspension with the R design wheels.
Yes, I've never had more people come up to me when I own that car to talk about it. I had multiple people come up and ask me, did I lower the car? And I was like, nope, that's completely factory suspension.
Yep.
Wow.
That was a hot machine. It was not fast, but it was a good looking
machine. Yeah, no, it wasn't the fast one, but it was
good to look at and comfy. That's all it needed to do.
Good road tripper. But just front wheel drive. I wish you had gotten a T6, but that's okay.
Couldn't really find any, but
yeah.
Now you can't find any, or they're all stupid expensive. But yeah, I wish for a little bit more power. But I drove that car from North Carolina to Connecticut twice, and it was an amazing experience.
Yep. And so this XC40 Recharge that we had, we did the range test, did some charging stuff with it, saw the updated charging curve at 150 kilowatts a little longer, which was nice. Ripped it up the canyons. It gives up on the comfort around town, which I wish it was a little bit softer. And I think that would help differentiate it from Polestar 2 a little bit more. But like, you stuff this thing into a corner and it's tuned perfectly, where it's not as stiff as the Polestar 2 Performance, which is almost race car levels when you set it up to like hardcore suspension stiffness. This was just great. Brakes are great. Brakes pedal is great. Power's great. Styling's great. It's the right image. It's expensive at 60 grand compared to Ioniq 5, EV6, ID4, Mach-E. But I think it's worth the money. And I'm glad it's a little bit more money too, because it weeds out all the people from sort of cross-shopping it, because this isn't a car you buy for numbers on paper. This is a more of an experiential thing. It's a little bit classier, but it's not pretentious. And so it's a really nice balance.
Yes, I remember watching your range test video on this XC40 that's pictured here for our YouTube viewers. And you said something very similar, and I completely agree. I thought that the Volvo is priced at a perfect level.
I'm glad you agree with me, Mike. Yes. That's never happened.
I 100% agree. I think it's priced perfect for the brand and for the just that class of car it's in.
Yep. I just think it looks so freaking good, and it looks like an EV, even though it's like shared with a combustion chassis. Like, I don't know. I think this photo Kyle took is really funny because there's a big oil spill or oil leak like right in front of the car. But I love the Volvo so much.
You can tell they park in that spot mostly, but they've also parked in a few other ones around there. You know, the interesting thing though is this attracts a certain type of person. And the certain type of person is really like Alyssa, which she's like, I don't care about the money. I would never drive an ID4 or a Mach-E. This is the EV I want.
Yep.
And it's just that it's got the image.
I mean, I remember when before the XC40 Recharge was out, when you and Alyssa lived in North Carolina here, you both were deciding on potentially getting an XC40 ICE motor, a T5. Yep. Because when they had just came out in 2019.
They were hot.
And oh my gosh, and they were so good looking. And they still look good.
Like, it shocked the market. It was very well priced. You could do a pretty good lease because Volvo knew that their residuals were going to be through the roof. And then I tried to get Alyssa to get one. I tried to get my sister to get one. She ended up buying a Q3. But I'm like, it's got a built-in trash can. And it's designed by women. Like, it's cool. Like, why aren't you getting this thing? I don't know. But
orange door pockets.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Oh, the lava orange interior. Yes. Yeah, that was hot. Yeah, and you know, it's still got some weird EV quirks. It's not I would say it's not a good electric car in terms of its efficiency and charging stuff. But it is just a great all-around package. But I wouldn't buy it as your only road tripper. Like, you would want something else to kind of go cross country with. But most people aren't road tripping cross country. Still, 150 kilowatts is fine for you know, the occasional once or twice a year trip that you have to take. And I'm seeing a lot of them around town here because it's very good for Northern Colorado. There's a lot of money in this town and a lot of people who don't want to show that they have money, but also they want something nice. And that's where this car fits in.
Yeah, I saw two here in Raleigh just the other day. The first time I've seen two XC40 Recharges in the wild.
And I'm seeing a ton more plug-in hybrid Volvos too.
Yes. Volvo, especially now that they have the extended range models.
Yep.
First of all, 455 horsepower and over 500 pounds of torque in an XC60 is kind of crazy. Yes, or the V60 Polestar now, the extended range, they go 36 miles EPA rated, I think. Or maybe even more. It might be 46 miles. I don't know off the top of my head. It's somewhere around there now.
It has twice the power on the rear axle.
Yes, and that is the car if you want to spend $72,000.
What you do is you just get an XC60 T8 Polestar extended range.
Yeah, and, so you do get the T8. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And then you just set the suspension to full soft.
Ben disagrees, but I was just looking at these last night. You can get the 22-inch wheels on the XC60 Polestar.
I was building them too. Were we both on the website at the same time?
Yeah, probably.
Because
I built one today, so yeah, I think we're all.
We also
the more rear about axle power. That's all I needed to hear. I didn't really care about the rest.
The Timon and I were in Michigan. We saw we went by the press car office and we saw an XC60 Polestar extended range, and we were like on the 22s. We're like, oh my god, this is so hot. I put a picture of it somewhere. There it is. That's at the press
office. Oh yes.
Beautiful.
Yep. Thing is hot, isn't it?
Love it. It's such Volvo has just knocked it out of the park with their plug-ins or even some of their BEVs design-wise.
So what else have we been driving? We've had some other cars loaned to us. F-150 hybrid.
Yep.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Well, second time we've had it, we needed it for some comparison stuff, and truly just is the master of all trades. That is efficient. It is crazy fast. It's usable and it's got great tech.
Massaging seats.
it, when we had the King Ranch one, which was really nice, had a great sound system, the whole bit. Just things that Ford can think of that no one else can, where you have this lighting around the vehicle, this lighting where you
perimeter
can
light lighting, the whole
range, yeah. The Rivian we were working around, and it's like dark everywhere. And then in the F-150, you can just go scene lighting on, and it's like daytime. It's amazing. And these are the things that like Ford's learned after building trucks for 100 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah, 50 years. Yeah.
And you know what?
They've built more than anyone.
It does show.
So it does show.
It's an easy purchase because you know it's going to hold its value. You know that they're going to be, you know, useful for time to come. The power boost, in terms of its smoothness, is not there. It's very clunky in terms of transmission shifting, and you know, you're just hearing all these clunks driving around. And they honestly should have tuned that powertrain better.
Did it? Because I drove one, I think a 21 or something power boost, but I always felt like when you go from engine off coasting to like, let me accelerate again smoothly, you get a big shock to the drive length from everything just torquing back up.
That was on the
first one. Because that was really annoying.
I think we felt that on the first one, which we had a limited or platinum. I can't. What's the
matter? You had a limited, yeah.
Limited.
You had a limited. Yeah.
Interior.
Yeah, amazing. Great looking truck.
That's the way I would go.
And,
but this one, definitely the engine on off was smoother. It's just the transmission's very clunky, especially at low speed and going into reverse. It's like kunk kunk, and then it's like it's just bad tuning is all what it comes down to. And I think Ford knows it too. And so the Lightning, I think, is going to be much smoother and better at these things. But either way, the Power Boost Hybrid F-150, if you just need a truck that can do it all, you don't want to worry about range anxiety. You still want something that can tow 12,000 pounds and have great driver assistance and lane centering with hands-free Blue Cruise. Like, just get that truck, and it's worth the money, and you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I wish I had thought about
believe that.
I wish I had thought about when I was doing like the camp speaker review, like having it at night, like trying to like light my surroundings. Like, oh, I can't see anything. Kyle, can you help me out? And Kyle's just over the F-150. Boom. Daytime.
Yeah.
But yeah, love that truck. And it was cool to have it with the Rivian because it felt like just two very capable trucks. And they're just so different. And they both have a place in the market. Like, it's not like one's instead of the other. It's like you need both for different things. And, you know, I can't wait to try Lightning and do all of our testing on that. But in the meantime, the Power Boost is a really compelling option.
I drive the Lightning exactly 4 weeks from today.
Ooh.
I was just going to ask you, when are you going to drive a Lightning? Because yeah, I know that they're getting close to coming out.
I don't know when the embargo lifts. I think the day this podcast goes live or right around there, I can tell you all about the Hummer EV, which is coming up soon. Basically, yeah, the Lightning was great. We don't need to really elaborate too much on that. What else did we have? We had EV6. We had a Leaf. We had Lightning, we had Genesis, Kia. Am I missing anything?
E-tron.
No, that wasn't loaned to us.
You needed to get an e-tron S. That's what we need.
Yeah, I've already made a review with e-tron S and was really blown away.
Yeah, in Europe.
Yep. And I should reach out to Audi. So I talked to we're doing something really cool this weekend, which I don't think I've told you guys about yet. Maybe I have. We're doing a race to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned this to me the other day, yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious what our podcast listeners will think about this. I genuinely don't know what the answer will be. We have a Model 3 performance, brand new, fresh car, 0 miles. So no degradation. Everything's perfect there. I would love to find a Model S long range, but I just don't know anyone who owns one. Versus Porsche Taycan Cross Turismo 4 versus Ioniq 5 versus Mustang Mach-E. So it's a little bit of a race to see who can get to Vegas from Fort Collins first. It's 830 miles, 12 and a half hours without charging. So it's a full day and you know, plenty of charging stops, of course. And it's a little bit of a network challenge between CCS and Tesla, but also a vehicle specific challenge within the CCS network.
You should try and find a Polestar for that too. A Polestar 2.
The Ioniq 5 and the Taycan on a better route planner are 8 minutes apart from each other.
That's incredible. Impressive.
Yeah, which is pretty insane. And so I don't know what's going to win. I don't think the Mach-E has a lot more initial full charge range. Mm-hmm. They might be able to get another charging stop. And if we roll up to a charger and someone's using the 350 kilowatt, then there's the advantage. I mean it's a real network world challenge.
Which way is that 8 minutes tipped? Is it the Ioniq?
The Taycan.
Okay, it does charge pretty good. So
yeah,
you could, if you really wanted to increase that cap, you could throw a Taycan sedan in there and pick up a little range over the wagon, I'm sure.
Well, Porsche already had this Taycan in Colorado. We were the last ones to use it like 5-6 months ago, and it's just sat at the press office. Wow. I didn't know it was here, and I called.
Oh man, you could have been driving it the whole time.
Well,
you could have made it your daily driver.
Well, they can't do that. But like, I called Calvin, who's been on this show, and I'm like, dude, do you have a Taycan here? He's like, maybe. Why? I'm like, well, I want to do it. He's like, oh yeah, it's just been sitting there waiting for someone to do something with it. I'm like, I would have used it.
EV versus Rivian versus everything. You know?
Right. Well, actually, that's where I found out that the car was there, and you know, Porsche being Porsche, they're like, if it's going in a drag race, we would only loan you something that ends in turbo S. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, don't ship a turbo S out here for this stupid little video. but I mean, maybe, you know, at some point we can do some more legit drag racing. We'll get a turbo S out here, but either way. So we have that great group of cars.
Weekend.
Yeah. And so I don't know what the prize will be, but we're going to get whoever wins like the nicest hotel room. And then everyone else has got to like camp in the motel across the street.
Motel 8, baby.
Yeah.
Last one there has to camp in the car.
Right. There you go. Rivian tent camping. I'd love to find a Rivian to join us because I think that would do pretty well for views.
Yeah. That would be great.
Because that has a big initial charge. And I bet everything is going to come in way closer than we're thinking.
Mm-hmm. I bet you it could be really neck and neck. I'm really excited to watch or hear about this, but I want to watch the video too.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to film it. Zach came up with the idea, one of our new colleagues, and the guy who has the Ioniq 5, he's starting to work for us now. And he came up with the idea, and I'm like, great, let's do it. There's our weekend. And so we got to figure out how we're going to film it. We might need to get a few more GoPros and let this thing go. It should be kind of fun.
A lot of in-car commentary.
A lot of in-car commentary. So
it'd be a fun one to edit.
Yeah, well, good luck, Alyssa.
Let me go through 32 hours of GoPro footage.
So I got an offer on my Model 3.
Strong offer, too.
You did. Yes, you did.
And I don't think anyone can beat it. Because I reached out to another dealer who's like notorious. Some viewers recommended me to this one dealer in Salt Lake City of all places. And they're like, they're buying the world supply of Teslas at way too much money. And even they were like, we can't even come close.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, you and I talked about this past week. And based off what I do now, I was like, yeah, that's a really strong offer.
They offered me $41,000 through driveway.com for this thing. I think I'm going to replace the glass for them just so it's not an issue. I haven't told them about the glass issue at this point, but I'll replace that so it's not an issue. Basically, $41,000, driveway.com. They said it's going to take a couple weeks because they're kind of backlogged because they're buying a ton of stuff, but they seem legit. They're owned by a huge conglomerate. They're publicly traded. Like, it's not a sham. And I was like, how many miles can I put on this thing like in a couple of weeks? And they're like, oh, we have a 10,000 mile allowance.
Wow.
Good Lord.
That's a lot.
That's a Kyle Connor allowance right there. So yeah, you know what we're seeing.
That's at least a week of driving for you.
And so, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that works, that process works. I've never heard of driveway.com until I literally saw someone in a Facebook group say they paid way too much money for my Mach-E. And I'm like, oh, let me just see what my Tesla's. I don't know. I was like going to put in the smart. I just wanted to see how legit it was. And then they hit me with 41 and I'm like, whoa, I think Tesla just offered me 30.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So like another, it was something like that.
It was like a huge bump. And I'm like, well, I don't need to sell it. I wasn't planning on selling it, but I'm like, I'm just going to dump it at this point. Because there's a really nice Morgan.
Honestly, you might as well, to be honest. Just like, you know, not like you need it. You have
the
three
in the garage. Whatever it's the clean three now. Is.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And,
you know,
and you
said Model
Jordan,
3, Morgan 3, close enough.
Yeah. Jordan cleaned it allegedly with one microfiber. Like, I just saw all the paint swirls in my mind.
You should see the stack of microfibers in my garage. They're all on the floor now. I went through so many microfibers.
You got to foam it. You got to clay it. You got to polish it. You didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it the car, yeah, I just looked at it in person an hour ago. It looked great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Nice video too, by the way.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think I'm going to sell it. I mean, we have a couple of cars coming. I have my Golf R, which should be here any moment, which, by the way, we get a Golf R on loan tomorrow. So all the stuff I would never do to my car, we get to play around with.
Yes. Both of my car. Oh, man. That's like, amazing.
What happens if you dump the clutch at 6,000 RPM? I would never do that to mine.
Too?
Yeah.
That's cool. I know. Yep. You had a great time driving the DSG one.
No, I've never driven the DSG, only the manual.
That was a manual. That's right.
Yeah, and loved it. And that's what made me buy the car. And so, yeah, same spec blue manual. Like, it's just, it's literally the identical car. And so this is going to be an interesting test, because I might just say that's all the time I needed with it and I don't need the car anymore, because I don't need the car. I just bought it because I liked it. Or yeah, ordered it because I liked it. And I don't know what's going to happen. It's got a Magna rear differential. Thanks to Magna for sponsoring all of our stuff. It's got that active diff in the rear, all done by the people sponsoring Out of Spec. They, in the name of drifting, which is great.
Good.
And
I support a company that supports that sort of tomfoolery.
I know. It's like, that's how you know you found the right company to partner with, when they put this axle in there just for the purpose of sideways action.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask how Magna was in Michigan. Are you talking about that yet?
Yeah, we can talk about it. We can't talk about specifics because it's not all been approved and everything. Mm-hmm. But for those who know, Magna's been an insane channel sponsor for the last 15 or 20 days or so. And this is planning to continue for the next couple months as well. And hopefully longer into the future. I mean, having a sponsor like this really allows us to make the coverage and make the videos we want to make. So it's really, really good stuff for us. And I hope it's beneficial for them too, because we've already found them a couple. You know, people are like, what does Magna gain from sponsoring your stuff? And honestly, they're looking for engineers. And, you know, our audience is like nerd level 9,000. So it's like the perfect, combination of this stuff. And so, yeah, we went to Magna. We went to the Hummer EV battery, basically chassis battery tray assembly plant. And it's not just like an enclosure for batteries. You know, the battery is the main structural component of the Hummer. And so it's made completely of steel. It links the whole vehicle together. It's what allows the T-top to come off. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the most impressive, insane factory tours I've ever been on. And it's for something so rudimentary, which is a holding pack for battery cells. Like, it does none of the electrical stuff, just the steel. And the amount of new technology when it comes to welding with lasers, and lasers then hitting wires to melt them in the perfect spot. I mean, truly mind-blowing stuff. They have like a 16 or 19 stage paint booth, which is way more than automotive paint. And so it was very mind-blowing. And it was all Magna designed, all Magna built. And then really the tooling came from GM, but you know, that's how that company operates, is GM hired Magna to do it. And they're making, I don't want to give specific numbers because I don't know if they've been approved yet. A lot of battery packs are going to come out of this factory. Like, way more than I thought would be possible.
I'm excited. Wow. Like, that's just, it's so amazing. Like, how far we've come in battery technology and still have to go. Like, it's, and Magna's right there on the cutting edge. It's awesome.
Yeah, and what's cool is they only build the double stacker ones for GM. So the Silverado with the big battery, the Hummer EVs with the – all Hummer EV battery packs are the double stackers, the 400 to 800 volt switch basically, and they have the wires to connect everything. It's really cool, all the pathways. it was a massive factory. The whole tour is an hour long. Just to walk it was an hour of just nonstop.
Ben would have liked that.
Yeah, anyone who's into engineering and industrialization would have liked this. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Then what else we do with them? I went to their Skunk Works like powertrain lab where they put electric motors on these dynos and like test the hell out of them and put them in shock testing, and they freeze them at minus 60 degrees and then like crank them up, and they do also differential and gearbox, transfer case testing, and they cold soak and then heat soak. And it was my dream come true going there. It really was. It was so cool. They also had a Rivian in for benchmarking.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
So one thing I didn't know is that like in Michigan, you can like rent an engineering vehicle. So like not from Rivian, there's like this one company or two companies that buy, or like they're on the first of the list for everything. They then get all the cars. They all have manufacturer plates on them, which I thought was interesting. And then you can rent them out by the day. And so they were putting current sensors on the Rivian to see how the powertrain control was with individualized data and really neat stuff. Wow. And it had the sport wheels and they had it in the mud.
Oh, the 22s.
It was launch green with black 22s in like soupy mud.
It'll do it. Why not?
It was pretty cool. Motor, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. It was pretty cool. So then we also went to their off-road park where we saw that, and we had the JL Wrangler, just a V6, but with the four-wheel drive auto transfer case. Magna did all of that. They also make the 4-to-1 in the Rubicon. That's all Magna. And so we basically put it in four-wheel drive auto and let the transfer case do all this weird stuff to figure out how to get us around Holly off-road park, which anyone can just go to. It's like $20. But Magna sponsors it. They have a Mount Magna, which is really cool. <That's> awesome. And like, I wish I could show you the pictures, but they're not approved yet. They have the new Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xEs that they're testing because they're doing the transfer case for that. Literally on like a massive steep uphill where like the front tires are coming off the ground and then they're just like rolling into the throttle and tuning where the power should go. And it's like,
oh, very cool.
Everything I've ever dreamed of doing in my life, they're doing. It's so cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's pretty much a scope of what we've done, and you know, some.
Is that everything though? I drove my Sprinter today for the first time in a couple weeks.
Oh,
how was that boat?
Oh, wonderful. Started right up like a gem.
Oh, good. At least Winnebago didn't build
so
the
much money right now. Now, if I was going to sell anything, that's what I really should sell.
That's what you should sell.
I was just going to say that's probably what you should sell.
I think I could make like 40 or 50 grand on that thing.
You know what? The better question is Auto Trader or Zillow?
Right, but you don't know.
Well, I know there's RV specific places, but I mean, you never know. With housing prices being the way they are in many markets, you might be able to just sell it as a home.
I just hate dealing with private party sale.
Yeah,
For a car that expensive, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about basically 200 grand.
And then I know. It's
like just big numbers and a lot of risk and like,
yeah,
you know,
it's and then a lot it's of
like
cash effort.
I don't know. I just don't really have the time to like cater to someone's buying needs. They could be like, Kyle, how do I operate this bed thing? Or this is broken. And so that's the one thing I don't like about private party. And I just want to sell it to someone and be like, let me make a little bit of money and you deal with the person who's going to end up buying this thing.
You got to find like an RV park or somebody, like someone who sells RVs, like who would buy it. And then
there are a few out there and I've not looked into it. I don't really want to sell it, but you know, this is a selling market and it's not like anything I own now other than really the smart car is like, this has to stay around forever. The plan was with the Rebel was to keep it for a year, make some videos, and then get the next thing. And, you know, while I don't feel like I'm ready to part with it, maybe it is time to just redo everything because we have Taycan coming. We have a Rivian coming. We have the Golf R coming. There's like so many new things coming that we got to figure out how to do for it.
And you're already in Colorado now. So it's not like you need to drive and camp across the country, even though it's nice to have that option.
Yeah, but that's a great point. And the thing is, like, since we got it in the last year, we've just gotten so busy where we don't,
like,
I don't even have the time to take it out.
Yeah. Or to enjoy it like personally, like go out for like a long weekend somewhere.
And it's hard to justify taking it out when we really should, if we have the time, be filming electric car road trips
rather
than like motoring. And so again, while I'd love to keep it, I mostly of the time just sleep in it in my driveway.
Keep it broken in.
Yep. Well, that is everything we've done, isn't it?
Pretty much. It's
been an exciting
just past the hour mark. And yeah, it feels like we've done so many things, but there's, you know, a lot more to come and obviously more cars coming, both press vehicles, but also personal vehicles. And Yeah, and I guess I drag raced a 96 Mustang in my Miata. That was
very riveting. Oh, that guy was super cool. We had him on the podcast.
Yeah, he was on our last episode. Tyler Parks, I think. Yeah. And he just made it to the West Coast. And he
but his AC gave out.
Yeah.
In California, you don't need AC.
Yeah.
Not really. Not this time of the year, at least. No. Tycon GTSs, I talked to Calvin, are on their way to the U.S.
Perfect.
Yes, Ben's excited.
Yeah,
Ben, you're gonna upgrade.
They could have done that just a little earlier, so I didn't have to lease a car and then.
Well, you could have just waited.
Ben's gonna get it. Ben announced it. He's not gonna get a GTS.
Yeah, I kind of want that.
Here's a story for Porsche, Kyle. Kyle, the story is Ben really wants to test drive a GTS Sport Turismo, can't find one in his location, and suddenly you and I stumble upon one in Colorado, and we have to get it to him in 2 days. And so we were doing motoring road.
You should race against
move to Colorado.
Yeah, what you really should do is move to Colorado. That we've put so many miles on Porsche's vehicles. I think if you look at miles per loan, I think we're averaging like 5,000 miles a loan at Porsche right now.
Well, you need to go across the country, so that skews it somewhat.
Wait, we literally used up one car's entire mileage allotment being the only loan.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of feel bad about it, but at the same time, like, we're doing cool stuff with them, so maybe I don't. And like this Tycon 4 in Colorado, like, I would feel bad about driving it to Vegas and back. Obviously, this has all been approved and everything, but like, that's like gonna be almost probably 2,500 miles by the time we're done with everything on that car. And you know, it is what it is. We're making cool videos with it, we're working with it.
Yeah.
But good luck to us to convincing anyone else to put that many miles in a car. Actually, they would. And honestly, no one's ever said no to a road trip story before. So we are very lucky that automakers are just like, yep, do what you want. We have full confidence. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of hit that threshold.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a fun show. Fun looking back on the weeks. And we'll see everyone on another show very soon where we dive into even more. So everyone, take care.